Good morning. Welcome to Southwest Central this morning. If you're here in person, it's wonderful to see you. If you're watching online, it's lovely to have you that way. Steve Sargent isn't here today. I'm Dee Pipes, and I will be preaching and welcoming you. Andrea's leading singing for us. Thank you, Andrea. We have some pieces of paper that you can use. We've kind of moved away from that recently. We have the blue card to tell us you were here, a goldenrod that you can write just the name of someone if we have them in our address book. King will address it and finish the address and stamp it. If you have a request, you can put it on this card. If you have a longer request or something you want to tell the shepherds, you want to use this. If in the collection you're giving for a special purpose, you might want to use one of these. Okay, so if you're watching online, later we will be sharing the communion meal, and you want to get your cup and your bread together now. Please stand with me, because I think the next slide is going to be Psalm 80, and you're going to remain standing for the hymns. Hear us, Shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who sit enthroned between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Awaken your night. Come and save us. Restore us, Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine on us that we may be saved.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to care. friends despise, forsake thee. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling. But he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Holy Father, it is with joy that we gather here today to praise your name and to be reminded that you are God in spite of the noise of the world around us. We are so easily distracted by the sin that engulfs us and the sin that lives within us that we forget your love for us and your sovereignty over this planet. We pray today for our sister Chelsea Sargent and her family in their grief. Comfort them, Father. Keep them safe. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Somalia, Ukraine, and other war-torn countries where their faith is often targeted. We pray for sanity and peace among the power-hungry and sectarian leaders who think only of themselves. We pray for those affected by drought and flood across the world, and for those such as firefighters and National Guardsmen who put their lives on the line to combat that carnage. We pray for the political leaders in this city, state, and nation, administrations who seem to be so polarized and extreme. May they determine to work together for the good of the people instead of the good of the party. With elections just 3 months ahead, give us wisdom in our choices of leaders. We pray today for the students who are beginning school again, and the teachers, bus drivers, administrators, and police who care for them. We want the epidemic of violence and abuse and mistrust to stop, that our children may find excitement in learning. We pray for the physical health of ourselves and our friends. It seems crazy that COVID and now monkeypox and even polio threaten lives. We pray for wisdom in preventing the spread of these dangers. As my brother Phil Rice says, the world is a mess. It's a mess because of sin. Sin of your children, Father. Help us to stand for your truth and to testify to the redemption that's found in Jesus. Give us strength to face in the face of unbelievers to live the life of Christ every day. We love you. We trust you. We are thankful for your loving kindness to us. Use us, Father, to further your kingdom. We pray because of Jesus. Amen.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning back, no turning back.
And now we have Jesus' pronouncement that we've been reading each week as we are studying Luke. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.
How y'all doing? All right, I'll be reading from Luke chapter 10, 38 through 42. All right. So now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was so distracted by her many tasks. So she came to the Lord and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." All right, thank you.
If you are usually back at the roots table, you can follow Miss Brandy now. And for the rest of you, hello again. Thank you very much, Markwell, for reading. I've known Markwell for a long time. Sometimes people we've known for a long time aren't allowed to change in our eyes. It works like this. I would still see him as I saw him and knew him in middle school or in high school. I would gloss over all the great things he did in college, and I'd miss what a wonderful dad he is, how loving he is to Maya and Mark. That's because I thought I knew him, and I had a knowledge of him that was from a long time ago, or maybe not so long ago, Markwell. And I know that I knew all I needed to know about him when I met him in middle school. I only saw, probably when he was in high school, things that would confirm what I already thought. It was wrong about Markwell. It's wrong about others. And it was wrong about how I was treating the scripture he just read. Again, thank you, Markwell, for your tolerance. Already some of y'all are wowed, maybe ticked off, maybe upset, or even fearful that Steve Sargent chose this story, these verses in Luke, maybe to talk about it all, much less to have me talk about. Some of the others of you may think, what does this have to do with me? Or you might be thinking something totally different. Okay, this is my signal for Jeff to advance the slides. If the slides are messed up, that is totally my fault, not Jeff's. So you might be thinking something totally different. That's okay. If you're a more visual person, as we get further into the sermon, the slides are lots of paintings and artwork that interpret this story. And you can spend your time thinking about how those paintings are right or those paintings disagree with what you think. Many of you are thinking, I know this verse, why tell me this story again? Well, it's like that book that intrigued Steve Sargent last week, Preaching the Good News to Those Who've Already Heard It. We've all heard this verse before. So often we think the message of the scripture that we know the message of the scriptures that we're familiar with. We know what it says, and we don't stop to see, as one author put it, the fragile, fresh voice in our lives today. My first impact of these verses came from the little plaques, like the one that's up there, that I would see in kitchens, many women's kitchens, when I was first married. They said, "Although I must have Martha's hands, I have Mary's mind." Some of you maybe had those, remember those plaques. The phrase comes from a poem by Carla Moncreis, who died November 15, 1971, at 92 in Maryville, Missouri. I can't tell you when she wrote the poem, but I'm guessing that she wrote it in the 40s or the 50s. She had a sister, Catherine. They lived together, unmarried, and are buried together in Maryville. Maybe she knew something about living with a sister. You won't believe how hard it was to find even that information. I want to issue one of those warnings that comes before news stories. The following poem has triggers for gender roles in faith communities. I am owning that. We'll get past that. We won't scar any children in this sermon. They're all at the Roots table anyway. If you want to talk to me about this afterwards, please contact me and we'll meet and talk. Kitchen prayer. I'm not sure any of y'all are going to be upset by reading that. I kind of picked a small font, didn't I? But it says, Lord of all pots and pans and things, since I've not time to be a saint by doing lovely things or watching late with thee or dreaming in the dawn's light or storming heaven's gates, make me a saint by getting meals and washing up the plates. Although I must have Martha's hands, I have a merry mind when I black the boots and shoes. Thy sandals, Lord, I find. I think of how they trod the earth, what time I scrub the floor, except this meditation, Lord. I haven't time for more. Warm all the kitchen with thy love and light it with thy peace. Forgive me all my worrying and make my grumbling cease. Thou who didst love to give men food in room or by the sea, accept this service that I do it unto thee. The message that I took from, the plaques was, the contemplative prayer life is the only one that matters. If you can't do that, admit it, apologize, and live with it. But maybe that's not all to the story, to these verses, or even to the principal message. So let's look at what the verses actually say. These verses surprised me. I came in with my 20-something understanding and found a lot more there. I will ask you in these few minutes to journey with me through this story to see what you learn anew about Mary and Martha, but more importantly, about how you might approach other familiar scripture. We're going to look at what the verses say and tell us, what we know from other biblical sources, and what's not included in the verses that we really don't know. And the slides will show you lots of painters' interpretations of what this encounter might have looked like. Steve Sargent is doing a good job reflecting the structure of Luke in this sermon series. A couple of weeks ago, he preached from Luke 9 on sending out the 72 as Jesus and his entourage, as Jesus turned his face to Jerusalem. He's going there to finish his earthly mission. From earlier in Luke, we know that Jesus and his disciples are working their way from town to town on the way to Jerusalem. It's an entourage of at least 72 men, like the Old Testament would often number the population. That's how many he sent out, and there were probably more than that. They came to, quote, a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. That's what the verse says. This is a remarkable verse. Welcomed him into her home. We know that Martha is the sister of Lazarus, and we know the village is Bethany. We know what we know about Lazarus is that he was raised from the dead, but we don't know that from the Gospel of Luke. It's over in the Gospel of John. Bethany was a village in Judea about 2 miles east of Jerusalem, John 11. 2 miles was considered a Sabbath's journey. On the Sabbath, you could walk 2 miles and not get in trouble with the leaders. I surmise that when Lazarus died and there were crowds of weeping women and people there, that included some paid mourners, which will help us understand a little bit more. The home is described as Martha's home. The paid mourners, having a home of her own and being able to feed 72 plus people, those all point toward wealth. I'm surmising that Martha is not herself by herself cooking for everyone, that she has help, and that the expense of the meal isn't going to be a terrible burden. It is referred to being Martha's home probably means that she isn't married now, or it would be her husband's home. Is she widowed? Who knows? I don't think Lazarus lives with her, or they would call it, it would be called Lazarus' home. The verses tell us that she had a sister named Mary. We know this part, Martha and Mary. And what does Mary do in these verses? Quote, Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. That's remarkable too, in its own way. Most of the women we see interacting with Jesus want something. They come with a specific request. Typically, they want someone healed. Mary is listening to what he was saying. She was hearing the good news. She wasn't doing anything sinful, but she wasn't sharing the work of hosting and preparing the food and helping. That's where she gets in trouble with Martha. She wasn't doing anything wrong is easy for me to say. That's not the situation from Martha's point of view. Quote, Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me. We're back to Martha's hands and worries and burdens. She knows what she wants to have happen. So she goes to the Lord to get him to make her answer happen. That might be worth a sermon all of its own. Is that the way I pray? Forgetting, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, and here we are in the middle of families. Think for a moment about the prodigal son parable, another one for great paintings. For a long time, I thought, and this is probably back in my 20s, not 20 weeks ago, I'm not in the parable of the prodigal son. But I was, and I am. You are too. Sometimes I'm the older brother thinking, what good does it do to work hard all my life and do the right thing? Sometimes I'm the prodigal coming back to my heavenly father after doing it my way and failing miserably. And I hope sometimes I'm the father welcoming the prodigal home, never giving up, loving and hoping. In this story, I'm certainly Martha. I can get distracted by the tasks for today, the tasks that I can think of, the tasks that are coming tomorrow. There are plenty of them. Maybe I'm doing the right thing. I'm not sure any of these tasks are terrible ideas. I'm at least not doing a wrong thing. I might even justify myself with languages of love vocabulary. These love languages are a concept created by Dr. Gary Chapman through his longtime work as a marriage counselor. What are they? Well, he suggests that we all give and receive love in one of five different ways. We have a primary way that we want to receive love words, and I add that we also have our very own go-to way to give words. And in my case, those are the same thing. These five ways are words of affirmation, acts of service. I think we're seeing Martha there. Receiving gifts, that might be Mary's. Quality time, ooh, that might be Mary again. And physical touch. Clearly, Martha's speaking language, giving language, is acts of service. I can certainly personally encounter problems when I show people love and they aren't hearing love because I'm not speaking in the way they hear love. Maybe Mary's love language is quality time, but all of this doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter what my love language is, doesn't matter what your love language is. Jesus is love, all-consuming, always sharing, giving, waiting, quality time, love. God is love in all languages and in doing all these things. Martha brought her petition before the Lord. And what did he say? Well, he didn't say, "You have the wrong love language. You are not as spiritually developed as your sister who knows how to sit still and listen." Oops, that's kind of what the 20-year-old me heard Jesus say. What he says is, quote, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things." And what does that mean? It means, I see you. I know who you are, Martha. Let me show you what you are doing. Wow, those are some loving words. That's all good. We all want to be seen. We want our work recognized. And he did say that, but Jesus goes on to say, there is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. So are we back to Martha's hands, Mary's mind? I'm not sure. There are a couple of concepts in the New Testament that may shed some light on that verse. In Matthew 5, Jesus says repeatedly, "You have heard this, but I show you an even better way." I think his comment right now is along those lines. Mary has chosen a better part, not the only good part. And Jesus listened to the overworked, overstressed woman, even if she might have brought it on herself. He didn't condemn her. He gently pointed out another better way to be. We've talked about what is in the verses, including some surprises like her home. What about what isn't in the verses? We treat this story sometimes like the parable of the prodigal son, but we need to remember that this isn't a parable. It's a woman interacting with Jesus. That's a little bit unusual in and of itself. It's something that happened. It's about family, like James and John and their mother wanting special treatment when Jesus comes into his kingdom. It's like, in the Bible, Jacob and Esau. It's like Joseph and, well, really all of his brothers. Is it like me and my sisters in Christ? My brothers in Christ? I'm afraid it is. And I act like Martha sometimes, knowing the answer, going to Jesus to make it happen. And at different times, maybe I'm a little like Mary, and I just listen to Jesus' teaching. Something else that isn't in the verses, as a very wise man reminded me, we don't know what Jesus said to Mary. We are often hearing or reading verses that we have heard before. So let's practice asking, what does the scripture actually say? That requires reading it, maybe in a new version. What's new here that I haven't seen or heard before? My Sunday school class is constantly finding verses that didn't used to be in my Bible. What's another way to look at it and say, oh, it also says this, not it doesn't say that, it says this. The Lord listens to us, his children. He offers his love, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus was on the road to Jerusalem. Jesus' blood was shared for me and for you, and we can assist you in putting on this new life through baptism. We're going to sing a hymn before we partake of the meal that one probably overworked person put together for us. If you want to talk to someone about baptism, you can seek one of the shepherds out, or you can talk to us later, or you can contact Steve Sargent. Thank you.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
This communion is prepared for us to share. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask for some volunteers to come and help serve it. And you can interpret your role however you see it in light of that Mary and Martha story. Okay? Will y'all pray with me, please? Father, thank you for being an awesome God. Thank you for allowing us to come before you. Thank you for the gift of Jesus and his sacrifice for us. Help us celebrate that gift of redemption as we take this cup and this bread. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, but even if you didn't see yourself in that story, someone has to come help.
Thank you.
We're going to take up a collection in a minute. Glenn and probably Larry will come up. The Vaughns have coveted their house again, so we want to remember them. Will you pray with me, please? Father, certainly your love is our greatest gift from you, but you give us everything that we have, and please bless us as we return a portion of that for your work here. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And you're going to put all those colored pieces of paper that you worked on in there, too. Let's see if it still works. What I have for Family Matters is what you see up here. The Thursday Bible class starts September 1 at 10:30. It's in person in the conference room and on Zoom. September 1 sounds like it's a long time away, but it's really not. On August 28th, the Vaughns will be providing us a family meal after the service. Kay Pipes is helping as well. No, it's not after service, it's after the classes. Okay. Next Sunday, August 21st, Steve will be back and we're doing our back to school blessing. That'll be for teachers and students of all ages, and I guess it can be Sunday school students too if you want it to be. And hope you're here. I didn't know why we had two of those. Oh, and a party, so that's, got it, sorry. We have classes for everyone who's here right after services. There's in the Roots Room, there's preschool, there's elementary in 108. The teens are upstairs with King. The adults, some of them are in 106 with Lisa, I think. There's some, it says adults, but there's some people really in room 101. We're doing Job, and there's a class in the auditorium. The prayer team will meet in the prayer room. Okay. Would y'all stand for the benediction, please? And y'all were just wonderful to look out when I was up here. Thank y'all. All of us have hands and minds, Martha's hands, Mary's minds. Let us go forth and use them to bless our faith families and the world. Amen. Go. Have a great week.